May 22nd meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'd like to invite my son Nathan and his colleague Dylan Ibarra from Troop 991 to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Want to just step in front of the chairs?
It's one of the hazards of being Brian's son.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Bond? Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Mead?
Here.
Councilmember Steckler?
Here.
Okay, and Councilmember Bond told us he would be out of town, so may we have a motion to excuse?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. And we're up to audience communication. Clay White, please. Name and address.
Good evening, Council. My name is Clay White. I'm with LDC, Inc. Our address is 20210 142nd Avenue Northeast in Woodinville. That's my in the daytime when I'm a land use planner and I work on policy issues. In the evening, I'm a Mill Creek resident, so thank you for your service, and it's great to be here tonight. The purpose of coming here tonight is I was hired by Pierce County last year to do a communication strategy for them. And one of the issues they were having is that they had some issues as part of Puget Sound Regional Council that they really wanted to see changed. But they're having trouble having that strong voice down at PSRC because there's 23 boards and committees. There's so much going on. And how do you work together? And one of the things that came out of that effort was the need to say, you know, there's a lot of local governments that may have some similar issues, but how do we speak with one voice as major projects are happening? So as you know, Vision 2040 is currently being updated. It'll be Vision 2050. The plan and the policies that come out of that document have to be reflected in countywide planning policies and then your comprehensive plan. So those decisions that come out of Seattle where you have a council member that sits on one of the boards here are directly impact you. And what we're kind of proposing is that we'd have a stronger voice if we all work together in a four-county region. So those that have common issues, cities, counties, organizations, that we'd really be more effective if we worked together during this process. This is just a huge communication effort. So where we're at right now, as I've dropped off some copies tonight, is we have a cover letter explaining what we're doing, why we're doing it, who we're doing it for. We have about a dozen organizations, cities, counties that have already joined our effort as part of this cover letter, just letting you know that there's just some base people that have decided to join. Pierce County, Kitsap County, City of Lake Stevens, Covington, Bonnie Lake, and others. And we're in talks with lots of other cities that want to join this effort. So you've got this cover letter. It'll be final next week, but I've got a draft for you today. And then we have this letter that would go to PSRC. It explains basically some major issues that we think that should be addressed as Vision is updated. These issues came from the scoping process. So there were scoping letters that were submitted by Snohomish County tomorrow, and a lot of different cities. And what I did is compile those into some big issues that we think need to be tackled. Want to make sure that it's kind of a broad effort, so you're capturing big counties and small cities and organizations that would be interested. And really that question is, do you want to have a voice at PSRC during this process? Do you see that there's a need to have that strengthening where you can work with people in common over the next 2 years? And so kind of the goal is we have a letter, we'll get that to PSRC, it outlines these issues. And then we would work together, see who signs up, and then we'll work together over the next 2 years to have a mechanism where you can kind of voice these issues. So hopefully we get policy changes that are beneficial to all the cities. This is a positive effort. This is really working with PSRC, but really knowing that our voice is stronger if we work together and have a common voice. So, and I guess I'd leave you with this is in King County, they have Sound Cities, and so you'll know before PSRC meetings that they caucus, they talk about issues, they come in and know exactly how they're going to vote. In Snohomish County, Pierce County, Kitsap County, you don't have that voice. It's different. You have Snohomish County tomorrow who wrote a very good letter to PSRC, but nothing happens really after that, so it's not. So when you have members on GMPB or Executive Board, they're not getting together before that before the meetings for Snohomish County and saying, how do we all feel about these issues? How do we work together? So this is really where you find commonalities, and hopefully we can work over the next couple of years. And I want to make it clear, there's some issues in this draft letter we've put together that don't encompass everything that's important to Pierce County. They're really important on military installations, but they knew that may not be an issue that would be important to Mill Creek or Bonnie Lake. So this doesn't mean that you wouldn't have your own comments, but it's just working together during this process. So I know I've gone a little over, but if you have any questions, we're really trying to get the formal letter signed by June 22nd so we can get that to PSRC proactively before they really dive into making some substantive changes to vision.
Yeah, I would just say that, so the equivalent of Snohomish County to Sound Cities Association is SCC. We don't have a huge staff.
Mm-hmm.
Talk
yes.
About what goes on at the GMPD and the transportation policy.
Good.
So we are represented. We do not have as many votes down there.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit confused because the scoping period entailed a bunch of comments. I think the scoping period has ended, at least it will have ended by June 22nd. So this is, I'm not quite sure what this letter is intending to do. Is it trying to pile on with the comments that have already been
made? Yeah, I think that it takes a while to build a coalition. That's a major, you know, communication effort to reach out to, you know, dozens and dozens of cities. You've got counties and organizations. So really trying to make a strong message. But the process is 2 years long. There's really nothing that's in this letter that isn't already encompassed in the scoping comments. So it's basically saying, hey, PSRC, you've received a bunch of comments, but just so you know, there's a whole bunch of cities, counties, and organizations that have come together. They want to speak with one voice to make sure that these issues are addressed, whether it's how regional geographies are dealt with or jobs, housing balance, and some of the things that are going on that we're going to be talking throughout this process. And we want to be engaging with you in that proactive way. But there's a variety of, like you said, there's a lot more votes in some jurisdictions. Some cities don't have any vote. They don't have anybody that's representing them on a board for that particular city. They may not have another outlet. So this is a way of them just coming together and communicating as a four-county region in a positive manner.
Fortunate that we didn't have this happen before the bi-monthly SCC meeting last Thursday, because that would have been the ideal time for that group to talk about Snohomish County cities.
And not just me, but you know, we're working with Master Builders Pierce County, and now we've got around a dozen organizations that have already signed on in just like 2 weeks. And so we know it takes a little bit longer for cities to consider these things. You're right. We have reached out to a ton of the Snohomish County cities, and we'll continue to do that over the next month. And the thing that I'm looking at is, you know, this was really just an idea to get organized to make sure that if Pierce County and Mill Creek have some commonalities, that we're stronger if you're actually talking, and you're going to get more done down in Seattle. That if there isn't time for some cities or they're wanting to hold back a little bit, there's nothing says they can't join over the next 2 years. This is a positive effort. I think it's just making sure that if there's things that impact the city, you can't wait till your comprehensive plan update because you've already gone through all these steps that dictate how you have, you know, a lot of things that you have to plan. And so the other piece is just, is you're well educated on these processes, but you can certainly, it's super complicated. There's huge ramifications. And unless you know, I mean, there's 23 boards and committees at PSRC that all do different things. And unless you really understand not only what they're doing there, but the connection to countywide planning policies and local comprehensive plans, you can get positive and negative impacts with really not knowing it until you get there. So this is a way of breaking down complex issues, and hopefully it's just that positive effort. So.
Okay, we'll have staff take a look at it and schedule it for a future council meeting.
I really appreciate your time tonight, and if you guys have questions individually, you know how to get a hold of me.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to talk to the council? Going once, twice? Okay, then we'll move on to new business, Sweetwater Ranch Design Contract.
Good morning, Council. So this agenda summary tonight is related to Sweetwater Ranch, which is a project that is currently under construction, and we have a contractor that started construction on April 9th. This particular agenda summary addresses the design consultant of the project, so the Blue Line Group, who's one of our on-call consultants. They're providing inspection services for the Sweetwater Ranch construction project. On May 1st, when I came to council, I presented the fact that slip lining is not a feasible option, and we talked about the boring, the directional boring that was needed. At that time, we didn't have all the details as to what additional inspection was going to be needed or any other design services, additional design services that were needed in order to conduct the boring. At this time, and since then, I should say, additional information has surfaced, and so the agenda summary that you see here tonight addresses that. One of those items for this addendum one to the Blue Line Group is a tree assessment, a certified arborist risk assessment for a cedar tree that is located on private property. And we have a large pit that was needed to be dug out on the south end of the project. And responding to the concerns of the residents that live on that property and the property adjacent, we had a certified arborist assess the tree and look at the roots and if whether they were impacted and see if there were going to be any structural ramifications or damages or instability to the tree. Turns out that that's not the case, but part of what we needed to do was to bring that certified arborist on board. We don't have one in staff, and the Blue Line Group themselves didn't have one, so they had to subconsult this out to Green Forest Consulting. The other item that since May 1st was needed to be done was actual survey. So the preliminary design that was done by the Blue Line Group when we started the project in April was based on LIDAR, which is high-level survey, flown survey type of thing, not boots on the ground. For the boring type of work, we needed precise location of where the pipe and the steel casing was going to go. And so that was additional service also by Access Group, a subconsultant to the Blue Line Group. They don't have the Blue Line Group does not have a survey team, so they had to subconsultant out. And then last but not least, the construction method changed, and so did the schedule and duration of construction. And so the last item covered here in this agenda summary is for additional design. So we had to redesign the project. The original design schematic did not work because slip lining was not the method that we could use. And then also additional construction management, so additional meetings with Northwest Boring and Shoreline Construction in order to discuss ideas as to how to make this work. Essentially, with this type of work, what we're doing is a design build as opposed to a design bid build. So there's a lot of back and forth with the contractor conversation. So that is construction management. And because of the extended period of time for construction, then we needed additional inspection services. This particular type of work under emergency contract is done by force account, which is time, equipment, and materials, as opposed to paying the contractor by bid items. So it's very important to have an inspector there on site at all times so that they can track which workers are on site, what equipment is on standby or what equipment is being used, and what materials are being hauled in or hauled out. So all that needs to happen while the contractor's there. The again, the Blue Line Group is one of our three on-call consultants. Their on-call, their original on-call contract allows us to authorize work up until $49,999. And it was under that original contract that we had them do the work for this project. However, not all the work can be done within that budget of $50,000, roughly. So tonight I'm here to request that council authorize the mayor to execute an addendum. I also provided here a summary as to where we're at. So these numbers are familiar, Table 2, based on what was presented on May 1st. So Shoreline Construction Cost Estimate is the same number that was reflected on May 1st. Again, these numbers are being tracked on a daily basis by the Blue Line Group, who's doing the inspection and producing force account sheets. There's a 15% contingency that was presented to council on May 1st. And then the construction management and inspection, that is the dollar amount that I'm here tonight for, $70,000 as opposed to $40,000, which was the original contract with the Blue Line Group. Any questions? Instead of $40,000, $50,000 is the contract amount, the original contract amount. From that $50,000, their original work order was for
$40,000. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
I have one. So this is an overrun, obviously, and I understand why. Good explanation. Why wouldn't we use the contingency fund for this?
We could, but still we would go over the $50,000 authorized amount. And so when we go over that $50,000 amount, which we would with this addendum, then we have to come back to council to authorize the city manager to execute the addendum. Mm-hmm.
So what Rebecca is asking for is that the
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Anything else, Gina?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Consent agenda. Approval of checks number 58583 through 58648. Macy H. Wire transfers in the amount of $162,462.36. Audit Committee, Council Members Todd and Mead.
No exceptions.
Okay, and payroll and benefit ACH payments in the amount of $206,488.95. So do we have a motion for the consent agenda? Do we have a motion and a second? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Down to reports. Hope everybody can make it to the farmers market this Friday and our Memorial Day events on, I guess we're all signed up for that on Monday. So, Councilmember Steckler, any reports? Councilmember Cavallari?
No report, ma'am.
I'll be at the farmers market, Gina. I don't know.
Thank you.
Report.
I went to the, I'm going to pass these down, take one of those. There's a group called, that's calling themselves NCUT, North Corridor Upstream Team, and this has to do with Sound Transit 3. The idea is Sound Transit 3 is going to get light rail to Everett sometime in hopefully my lifetime or other people's lifetime, 2036. But they're trying to look at lessons learned on other Sound Transit projects that are going on and say, are there things that we can do in Snohomish County to expedite that? So yeah, they're going to get to Linwood here in 2023, but to get to Everett by 2036, what can we do now to work on the things that might make it move faster? So they call this team as kind of a ad hoc group of folks, but it involves people from WashDOT, the county, Sound Transit, Community Transit, several private construction firms that are interested and have been involved in Sound Transit too. And they had a meeting this morning that I thought was kind of interesting. This was a quick report from the Snohomish County folks. This is a little bit unusual here in Snohomish County. There are two stations presently on the alignment for Sound Transit 3 that are not in any city's jurisdiction. They're in the county's jurisdiction. So it has fallen to the county to say, okay, we're doing the planning, at least for now, on what these stations are going to be. And so this was the presentation this morning at a very high level to talk about the two that were impacted. And one of them is at 164th. There's two red circles, and one is at 128th. So if you think about our urban growth boundary, that's I-5. That's where we smack up to it on one side. And I think Linwood, I know at least, is urban growth boundary 164th. They might be 128th also. So in the absence of Linwood annexing and the absence of Mill Creek annexing, then Sound Transit would end up dealing with Snohomish County on alignment, but also these two stations. It is important that for the whole thing to move expeditiously to 2036 in Everett, that they get to a preferred alignment agreement in 2020, which sounds still out there a ways, but it's only a couple years away, so that when they go and do their draft environmental statement, it includes the right alignment. Because in the past, when they have said, oh, we're going to change something, if it messes with a federal process of environmental impact statements, you can go back to square one. So they're trying to get way ahead of that. So if you look on the back of this, this is the local process where they're going to look at some alternatives, and this is still 2018. This is going on right now. They're looking at 3 to 5 station location options for each of those 2 stations. Later on this year, they're going to try to refine that down to 2 station location options for each of those, and then they're going to develop some stationary concepts, and that'll have some land use concepts that go with those. And their objective is sometime in 2019 to be able to have that preferred concept that we, Snohomish County, collectively, these stations in the county, but also stations in Linwood and stations in Everett, would go to our Sound Transit board members and say, this is what we think makes sense. We all support this. We are all on board. We're going to make this thing move smoothly. So all of a sudden, this is getting more real, although ST3 seems like it's a long ways away because of the length of the process required. This is going to be going on the next year and a half or so. So I just thought it's important that we start paying attention and being aware of what's going on. These guys are doing great work. We also got a report from what Everett's doing about their station planning up there around Everett Station. It's some pretty cool ideas and some things they've done around their land use to prevent low-rise kind of development happening where it might make sense to have high-rise transit-oriented development happen in 2036 when light rail gets there. So they've done some land use tweaking in their process. Linwood right now is working with Sound Transit on the station that's going to arrive in 2023, but there's going to be another station at the southwest corner of Alderwood Mall. This is going to be a kind of an urban kind of station as opposed to a residential and commuter kind of station, and so they're also working on that. So anyway, the alignment and where these stations are going to be is really important to us as a region and for how our folks are going to commute. So I wanted to pass that out to you, that just let you know that this kind of thing's going on.
Are they incorporating the 164th station into the existing park and ride? Because I don't know of any land that's available at 164th and Ashway.
Yeah. So I don't know the exact details, but this is why we should be paying attention. Sound Transit 3 has certain parking facilities along the way, but not a lot. And so a lot of the connection is going to be east-west connection on 164th. Orange Line is what it's tentatively being called, as a BRT that would bring people back and forth. But the expectation is that people are not going to drive to the spine of light rail. They're going to get on local transit of some sort and ride light rail from there.
That's the theory.
That's the plan, because there is not enough land, as you know.
Well, it's not just
to
land.
Build.
164th Park and Ride is already overutilized. It's full at 7 o'clock in the morning. People would use it more if they had built a bigger facility like they did down at Mall Lake Terrace. But
yeah. The trick is, and you know this from the development business, structured parking is expensive. I remember Bill Trim used to talk about $25,000, $30,000 a spot for structured parking here in Town Center. I was just flabbergasted. It's $70,000 to $100,000 a spot for structured parking in that dense core. And so they're really looking at parking management strategies, other ways to get people onto it. And we're not in a place where we're ever going to be able to drive to light rail. I shouldn't say never, but the main mode of connection to light rail is going to be a local transit trip of some sort that's going to get you there. So that's what Community Transit and WashDOT and lots of other folks are talking about.
Or 128th. I mean, they just put a monstrosity of an apartment complex up there, too. I was kind of shocked by that.
And so that's reasons, like Snohomish County, trying to get ahead of some of this. You don't want more of that development that's 2 or 3 stories tall if ultimately you'd love to have more density there. Or if a train's got to make a big arcing turn through there. For me, I'm going, oh, gosh, I wonder if they just eliminated where the track's going to go. This is early on for alignment planning, but it is not too early to get some of those things worked out and to avoid the problems that happened in Bellevue and the problems that happened other places in their system. So,
did they mention anything about Hollywood Mall? Like, I know they put the light rail in Northgate, and what I've been reading with future opportunities in the anchor stores that are leaving these major malls, like the Sears and other ones, that would open up an opportunity to put in a light rail up there. I was wondering if they brought that up, because I thought that was kind of, I had heard that was one of the discussion items.
Well, I think what's gone on at Northgate is the developer or the owner of Northgate has said, hey, we're going to redevelop this in a big way to be office and
right.
residential and retail mixed-use kinds of things instead. I don't know if Linwood is that far along in their planning, but I would hope that they're thinking out there in the crystal ball 2030s, yeah, what happens if people no longer want to go to Macy's or Sears? Oh, gosh, that one's closed. So, I mean, there's some big stores that are closing, so I think the nature of malls may change, and so I think that's an opportunity. I don't know if everybody knows about it, but across from the mall on the east side, there was a building that had like a medical office building a couple stories high, and it's going to be a 21-story redevelopment. Isn't it 21 stories? It's something. It's
tall. And the development that's going in on the mall right now, I understand, is mixed use too. Next to where the Sears is, it's what side is that? At the east side? Yeah, it's the east side. Across from where Toys R Us. Talk about shuttering stores.
Yeah, it's right south of the Toys R Us, and somebody's been working on that. So, I mean, there's a lot of new kinds of development that's going to happen because of the nature of retail and the nature of where people are going to end up living and et cetera. So, anyway, it's affecting Little Old Mill Creek whether we like it or not. Thanks.
Okay, with that, we're on the audience communication.
Last chance to talk to the council. We're going once, twice. Okay, we're going to... Will Nelson, 14925 29th Drive Southeast. My major concern with Sound Transit is I'm read documents that says they're going to need Sound Transit 4 money to complete Sound Transit 3. So, you know, I'm not a fan anymore.
Anymore, yeah.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to recess to executive session to discuss potential litigation pursuant to RCW 4230-110-1I for up to 10 minutes, and no action will be taken when we come back. Thank you.
Oh, I grabbed one. Yes.
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 So you're